Father, get over.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, come on now. This thing's all messed up. It's trying to wait an hour before it kicks in. Let me unmute Kenny here and talk to him a minute. Kenny, this thing jumped from a few seconds to an hour, 27 minutes, and 53 seconds. What can we do about that? I'm going to shut it off and bring it back up. You guys are going to have to call in again. Sorry.
Stop fighting me. I'm not the enemy. You got a problem with me. You have to fix. God told me here. I don't need this. I don't need this. For this time. For that to be. That's all mankind is. It means to an end. But what would you like to explain? Every day twice, these people are going to work. Let's see any value. Life. So life and people and God are things we're stuck. We're not getting rid of. So we had to put up. That's what people, something had to put up with, like God. Stuck with God. Stuck with this life. Life is a burden. Then I'm going to turn eternity. And that is to find him. Everything. Staring at me, jumping in my face, what's that doing? Talking over me, what's that doing? There's got to be somebody for you. I respect you. Yeah, would be the believing.
come on.
Expect people to say, do what it takes. You want to be a leader. Expect. Stop screaming about me and do something about what you hate me. Either that or you fix everything about you by game. Because that's the game you want to play. And if that's not a game, then I think that's saying fix everything about you by game, then I don't respect you. I've had life worse. Expect me to fix everything about me. I don't care enough explain what I just say every day twice. Why is everything in front of me? It's like you're talking with me. Tell me you hate it, that's enough. I don't want to hear, I can't stand, don't mock me.
I don't understand that.
Same words, you're just going to keep recycling. You'll be turned by hand again. Jump with my face.
Kenny, can you hear me? Hello. Hello. Gary, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you. I hear y'all talking in the background, too.
Well, all right, so this went haywire.
Didn't much figured out.
All right. All right, I'm going to mute you guys. We'll be picking up with the service.
All right.
All right. Good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We had some technical difficulties here with the machine, and sorry about that, but we finally got a few things straightened out, I think. So let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, Father, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the guidance, Father, that we need so that we can walk in accordance with your will and your way and not the ways of this world, nor man's ways. But Father, help us to walk with open hearts, open minds, to be receptive to this your word, so that we can learn how to walk as your children. And we ask this in the sweet, precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. We're going to be taking a look at Matthew chapter 25 this evening. We had thought we might get into that this morning, but we didn't make it quite there. The good Lord had a lot of other things for us. He's been good to us today. He's reached down and touched one of us today with that healing touch. He's helping us along the way. You know, Jesus loves man. And he's always there for us. It's you and I that walks away from him. He's always there with his word. He keeps his word. The Lord our God does not lie. And what his word says he'll do, he will do. But we must stand upon his word. So as we get into 25 here, I'm going to read the first 13 verses and we'll take a look at them and see what else he may have for us. So beginning here with verse 1. He said, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And may the Lord add his blessing now unto the reading of this his word. You know this parable that Jesus is giving to his disciples and all. It's a good thing for you and I really to take a look at and to understand. Because this parable of the 10 virgins, it kind of explains and gives us an idea about what happened to Israel's two converts, you know, and what will take place during the tribulation period with them. And also, it gives us an idea about the relationship of the church with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, the 5 wise virgins, they were prepared. They had taken oil and oil and extra oil even for their lamps. How are you and I prepared today for the coming of the Lord for his church? That's not as far off as we'd like to think. Mankind is going to find that it is a lot closer than what man's believing today. Because you see, man has turned his back upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not paying much attention to God's word today. A lot of it is because of the deceit that has crept into our churches, and how Satan had deceived a lot of mankind that are claiming to be Christian that are not. And they don't have an understanding of God's word. We're told in his word, his word tells you and I that those that are not filled with the Holy Spirit don't understand God's word. They can't. Because, you see, it takes that Holy Spirit to give you and I that understanding. As I was telling you this morning, in the last month, I have grown so much that I'm not the same man I was a month ago. Because God has been dealing with me differently. Think about it. And with each and every message that God gives to me, not only will it help others, but it is also making me grow. Because you see, regardless of where I have been and working and doing God's work, I've had one church member that has given me nothing but trouble and heartbreak. He's caused me an awful lot of time trying to deal with him, to get things straightened out. Because I've had to put in many, 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 many hours in talking with him, giving him guidance. And, you know, I guess I can really tell you who it is. I can give you his name. His name is me. And my own greatest sinner. And we all, if we'll be honest about it, and honest with ourselves, find out that we are our own greatest enemies when it comes to the things pertaining to God. We can find so many other things to do other than sit down and get into God's Word and to study it, to meditate upon it, to spend time with him in prayer. Yet we want all kinds of things from him, don't we? We want him always doing something for us. Yet, we don't have to beg him for nothing. He's already gave it. We just have to learn how to receive it and accept it. Don't be needy. Everything. That's why we have his word. And he's kept his word for us down through the years. Man started quite a few years back messing with God's word, rewriting it to suit themselves, to make them say what they wanted to say instead of what God had it saying. But his word will never pass away. And we're told that. Now these five wise virgins, they were prepared to meet the bridegroom, and did so. And they were taken in. But after they were taken in, the door was shut. And when the five foolish virgins came along and called out and wanted, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But you see what his answer was. But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." Those out there that are not prepared will never see me as their Savior. They're going to find those things in hell with Satan, his bunch of demons, and all that has never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you know, there's really no need. God didn't make things hard for you and I to become his children. In fact, he made it really very simple. But we have a choice. We can choose how we want to live while we are here on this earth. And it's that choice that will either lead us to be prepared to meet him or unprepared. But those that are unprepared, they're going to find themselves just as these five foolish virgins, for he told them, "I know you not." We all are to be about God's work, doing his will. Because if we are a Christian, if we are a child of God, then when we come to him, he will hear us. And he'll grant to you and I the things that we need. But if we don't belong to him, there's no way. Now, we're going to come on down here now and begin here with verse 14. And he said it here, he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." We know that Jesus went back into heaven. He's been gone from his people now for quite a while, hasn't he? His people Israel. But he hasn't been there. But what have they done? They still never really agreed as a nation accepted. They're still walking and trying to live and make the kingdom of heaven by living under the covenant, the Mosaic law. Still not accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But then when we look at our nation, a nation that today is standing without any excuse whatsoever, we have it all. This nation at one time had been founded upon God's word. Our government was established upon his word in the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what they've done. The first thing they've done because they took the name of Jesus out of every place he was at. They started by taking him out of our school. Then they took him out of all of our public offices or government offices. Then they took him out of our courtrooms. Then they took him out of our prayers. They didn't even want you praying and ending your prayer in his name, in that name of Jesus. Taking him out of everything. A nation that was founded, our government was founded and set upon the foundation of God's Word and the Lord Jesus Christ. We were teaching other nations even. And look what they did. They took him out, and then that wasn't enough. They wanted even the name God taken off all of our government buildings. They did all except one. They couldn't get that one off. They took on top and they didn't get through. And they have killed up in the 60 million of our unborn babies. And they're still today killing them by the hundreds of thousands a year. We had a president that stopped them. Stopped abortion. He was standing with the churches. He was standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what they've done. They cheated, they lied, they stole the election, put him out of office, still trying every way they can to get him convicted of some crime, to get him put in jail when there was a crime. And the first thing they did after their president got into office was to open the election and it back up and go back to the North Haven. Then they come along and they say, well, you know, you can't say anything, I just came married. That's hate you can't say anything against it. You can't stand against them. Had a baker refused to make a cake. The two men were going to be married. They drug him through court for years. He still didn't make that cake. But this is the shape our nation has gotten into. That it's all right for man to marry man. It's all right for woman to marry man. That's just an alternate lifestyle. No, according to God's word, it's sin. That's why they've got a bill in right now. They're trying to get it through. And we need to be holding them accountable and calling our congressmen and all to make sure it does not go through. It will make our Bible hate speech. But it is out there. Think about it. That's the kind of shape our country is in today. And then when we look around, look at what's going on. They've had our nation locked down now over a year. For no reason spread all the viruses in the world, yes. Yeah, it's real. Nobody denies that. But it's not, and has not done what they claim that it's done. It's not doing what they claim it's still doing. It has been used as a political tool to see just how far they can push us. And how long we will stand and take. You know, most of mankind, most of our people today in our land are media life to this. Because most of them are all the side of our group. Well, they stand up and lie to us. So we do have a few out there that is bringing us truth every day, but they're on late at night. Because in the daytime, they get kicked off. But they are letting us know, little by little, late at night, of what is taking place in this land of ours. And so we have to see a lot of our nation is like those five foolish virgins, unprepared to meet the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes for his church. And we will be coming for his church. But you know, beyond that, and what most needs to be thinking about is not when the next time the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be coming after his church or coming back to earth, but when he's coming for them as an individual. How long is he going to give you for you to stay here on this earth? And if he calls you, are you ready to go home? Or are you like one of those foolish five virgins that wasn't prepared? Have you been preparing your life to meet your Lord and Savior Jesus? What have you been doing, really? Well, I really just don't have the time. There'll be a time to where that door will be shut. It won't be open. And he won't have time for you. It's time that we all wake up. Now, we're going to come into another parable here, another part of this parable, here with verse 15. And this is the parable of the talents. Unto one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to every man accordingly to his several abilities, and straightway took his journey. One talent, back in that day, the talent was a gold and silver thing, the one talent back in that day consisted of what today in our gold and all would amount to about $800,000. That's a lot of ability, isn't it? And he gave these three things out to see how mankind would be with him. When you were born on this earth, you were born with talents from God. But when you come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are getting more power than to use for Him to help bring in others that are lost. What are you doing with your power? These three that he gave his talents to, here's how he did. Verse 16, then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. He used his talents to gain more. He had more talents now to give back to his master. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained another two to give back to his master. What have you done with the talents that God gave to you? Have you used them at all? Or have you been like this servant who would give one? But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. He hid. For you see, he wasn't going to use it because he was afraid. Because he didn't understand his master. He didn't trust his master. Have you been trusting your master today? Or have you been afraid to use what he gave you? If you have, watch out. Because as we see here, it doesn't work. It says, after a long time, in 19, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. In other words, he's getting ready to check each one of them out. 20, and so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. The man instead of giving back his master five talents, he's giving him ten. He's used them. He used the talents that God gave him. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now, 22. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents besides them. You see, it wasn't really the amount that the master was after, but it was what was they going to do with the talent. And that's the thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you doing with the talents he gave you? Have you been using them at all? He also that had received the two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done. You've done well. You used the talents I gave you. Good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not sown. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. He didn't get rid of it. He hid it, and he gave it back to the master, but he hadn't used it. He didn't use it. Now, here's what the master thought about that deal. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not sown. Thou oughtest, therefore, to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. It wasn't the amount, it was just the idea that they were being used. That's what he's asking of us today. The talents that you came into this world with from him, and then when you decided to go to him and ask him to come into your life, you was also given more talents then. Most of us never even touched to find out what talents we have, let alone use them. So here's what we got to look forward to. Take therefore the talent from him, the one that's got the one talent, take that talent from him and give it to him which has ten. Now he's got 11. So what is going to do for him? For unto everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But to him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. You're not going to use it, I'm going to take it away. That's what he's letting mankind know by his word here. I've given you talents. If you're not going to use them, you're going to lose them. Because I'm going to take them, and I'm going to give them to somebody else that will use them, because I want to use them. And that you, the unprofitable servant, into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what will happen to us when we don't use the talent that God gives us. When we don't share God's word, we don't share our time with others to bring them the knowledge of God's word, to help guide them in his way, to help them reach the point of accepting the Lord God as their Savior. That's what's going to happen to us then. It goes on here now, 31, it says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. We know that day is coming. We don't know when. We don't know how soon. But we know that it is moving closer and closer all the time, because we have seen things. We have been warned to watch for. We've seen them already come about. A lot of them have already happened. Some are being done now. And there's just a few more left to come. And then we will see who's coming. Think about it. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. There will be a division one day of mankind. Those that are the children of God and those that are not. They will be divided. And they will be saved, for they will spend eternity. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You see, for those that are ready, those that have prepared themselves, those that have fulfilled that plan of salvation, those that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what they've got to look forward to. He goes on and says, for I was a hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when shall we be and hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? You see, that's the talent he gave us, was to reach out to help those that are in need out there today. Because when we help them, we are helping him. It's the same thing. If I give someone a cup of water that is in need of that cup of water, it's just the same as if I'm giving it to Jesus. That's his word, not mine. But that's it. Think about that. Someone needs a coach. They're told they need a coach. I give them a coach. I haven't helped just that one. Because, you see, God in heaven is looking that I've also helped him. His voice, not mine. 39. Or when shall we be sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. You see, that's God's word. That's not my word. That's God's word. Letting you know that when you've done it to one, you've done it unto him. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, oh boy, here we go. Those that would not get ready, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when shall we be a hungry and the thirst, or a stranger, or naked or sick, or in prison and did not minister unto thee? And then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. That's why you and I need to be prepared. That's why we need a place, a good church, the world we can come to, get into and work and begin to do the work and use the talents that God has given to each one of us. So one day, we're going to answer for it. So we're going to end with this last verse. And they shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Those that are ready will go into everlasting life. Those that are not ready will enter into everlasting punishment. And we all know what that is, that we're told what that is in the book of Revelation. That we are all at that great white throne judgment, wind up in that lake of fire with Satan and all of his little demons, and everyone that has not prepared themselves to meet the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Think about it. And I pray that everyone will think and know and decide and choose to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and not themselves. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for a place to where we can come to share your word, to meditate upon your word. A place, Father, that loves the Lord Jesus Christ above anything of this earth. Now, Father, we ask you for the Holy Spirit to go forth to your saints, wherever they are in the world. Keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as the land of Jesus. Our land, Father, that has been without any excuse and yet turned its back upon the church, upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, trying to make hate speech out of our Bible, turning against your people, Father. Father, we're asking that the Holy Spirit work with us, help us to remove from office those that are standing against your church, those that are standing against the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to replace them with those, Father, that will stand with the church and with Jesus, will work with us to bring this land to repentance so that our government can be put back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name is called, may the Holy Spirit touch that one, fulfill whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Padley, Amy Friend Sue in Sioux Family, Texas, Amy's husband Tom, Tom's friend Dennis, and Dennis's family in Oklahoma. For Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, Father, this young man, use him among the young people there in Texas He's in there by the Gateway. The Terry Colts. The Dennis Breeden and his wife, Tina. To the brothers in Christ. To the Glory Bound Church of Irvington. Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God in Brandenburg. To the Meade County General Baptist Church. And the pastors there, Pastor Don Hill, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches make them lighthouses. And in the community in which they stand, use them mightily, Father. And these pastors, I pray they can be filled, overflowing with the Holy Spirit, to keep these churches upon the pathway of righteousness. This young pastor Will, my prayer for him, Father, is that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit, and he is the minister you want him to be. Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie. Father, we keep lifting them up because you know what is needed there. And we put them in your hands. That little full gospel church is out there at Anthony Farms. We pray for it, not only to be a lighthouse, but a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness and go and find light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. For my young pastor friend in Pakistan, Harun Islam, the pastor Barak Mishai, the pastor Zephyrin Aaron, Father, all of those, I pray that the Holy Spirit will work with these three pastors because they walk in lands, Father, in places to where if they talk with that message, they'll mean imprisonment and even death. For the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for my wife's family, my family, and for each family that will hear this message, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will work within these families, keep them safe, keep them in health, help turn them from their evil ways, bring them out of darkness and into light, and that light being Jesus, so that none be lost, and all will be able to make heaven their home. Jimmy Ender, David Gillet, Karen Montello, and her mother. For Sue, for Palins, for Casey Smith, for Kelly Smith, for Henry Craycroft. Father, for all of these, they need a healing touch from the Lord Jesus Christ. Touch them in a mighty and great way. Heal whatever is wrong with each one, Father, and bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they too, Father, can become a child of the living God, to be used according to your will and your way. Our Father, this place is yours, it's not mine. Make it as what you want it to be. Help us now, Father, to begin to feel this truth, to bring it back to life, Father, once again, where it has been closed. Now, Father, we have it open. Make life within it. Use me, Father, in mighty and great ways, not to lift me up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen. God bless. All right, everyone. Remember, come Thursday night, God willing, we can all be together again and back into the Word of Almighty God. So until then, walk with God. He will walk with you. Good night now.